Okay, hello everyone. It's good to have you with us tonight, and it's a great pleasure to be here. And it's good to be with my family and to be able to get out and do a little and have a good meal and also be with the kids here whenever we got back to the house. They were here waiting on us to get back when we got here, and it was great.
Troy was dragging.
It was great to see the yard full of cars again, and without there being a calamity of some sort. I guess you could call a birthday a calamity a little bit.
That's
but,
a good calamity as opposed to a bad.
You know, that's the way it goes. Zechariah 7. Let's go back to Zechariah 7. And tonight's study is going to be study 136 in our study of walk. And, of course, today is the 28th day of June 2017, as Ronnie said. Last night I was watching the West Coast ball game. And it was a little after 12 o'clock. I looked up and I said, man, I'm already 79 years old. And here I sat there like a dummy, you know. But it was fun and it was a good game. And by the way, the Braves won. Which makes it much better to sit up and watch.
Dorney says, oh, to be young again.
And so, verses 1 through 14 in Zechariah 7 are little prophecies. They are dated. And we've been given the dates. And the dates, by the way, are the Jewish sacred calendar, not the king's calendar, but the sacred calendar. And of course, that controls the feast, the feast days. And, you may have to go one more time on that, right? I don't know. And, but we'll get into that a little bit when, as we go along through here. So, the first 14 verses deals with Israel's coming back into the land, and it deals with the feast days and some of the questions that were raised because of the feast days. And some people said, well, we kept the feast days anyway during those 70 years. And God asked them a question, that did you do it for yourself or did you do it for me? And so it makes a difference, you know, and it certainly makes a difference. So we're gonna start off, I don't know where we get the whole chapter or not, but 1 through 14 is the whole chapter, chapter 7. So let's just dig in and get started. And it said, and it came to pass in the fourth year of King Darius that the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah in the fourth day of the ninth month, even in Chishlu. And Chishlu is something that we need to look at too. And it kind of gives you the understanding of which calendar you're dealing with here. Now, it said, and it came to pass in the fourth year of King Darius, and that is after the 2 years of Zechariah 1:1, because Zechariah starts off in the second year of King Darius's reign. So this is in the fourth year. And it went from the eighth month down basically down to the 12th month. And this is fourth year there, 407 B.C. And King Darius was Darius Astaspus. Astaspus, I think, is the way that's pronounced. That the word of the Lord Jehovah came unto God's prophet Zechariah in the fourth day of the ninth month, even in Kislew. And that is our December. That goes with, you can leave it on one if you want to, right?
I'll just need a little bit.
But the ninth month there is in the sacred calendar year, and it would be our December. And it's not the last month of the Jewish year, because there were three more months to go there. And it says, and when they had sent unto the house of God, in verse 2, Sherezer and Regem-Melech and their men to pray before the Lord. So evidently someone, and it didn't say who, it just said they had been sent there go in and pray before the Lord. And they were there also to ask questions of the priest. So it said, when they had sent unto the house of God, sent there was to Bethel. So Bethel here was already occupied by exiles from Babylon. And it said they were sent unto the house of God, or unto the house of El, or Elohim, and it is the same word, just in another manner, of the Lord of hosts. And Sherezer, I think, is the way that's pronounced. Sherezer is 8272 in the Strong's, and it is an Assyrian name, and it gives you the understanding that Sherezer was born in exile. Now, he wasn't the one that was carted off 70 years before. He is back now. He is back in the view of God here as one born in exile. So that's an Assyrian name. Regem and Melech, it talks here about them and their men. And their men were the Enosh. They weren't the Ish, they were the Enosh. But evidently they had went down there, or they had went to the house of God as a group. So they were messengers of Zechariah's group, or batch, if you will. And they were there to pray before the Lord. It's put in verse 2. And they were there to ask Jehovah's favor by praying or sacrificing. I'm not sure which. It could have been both. So that was the reason they were sent down there. They were sent down there to pray before the Lord. And not only that, but in verse 3, it says, and. So it was more than just to pray before the Lord. They were asking Jehovah's favor for sure. by prayer or sacrifice or both, and to speak unto the priest. So they were there to ask for favors of the priest. It says, which were in the house of the Lord of hosts, and to the prophets, saying, should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself as I have done these so many years? So they were putting it forth like, even though they were doing all this idolatrous stuff, that they were taking a couple of months out of the year to go before the Lord, to pray before the Lord. I don't think this was going to hold water. I don't think it was going to.
I wonder if the weeping
was going to stand up.
Is the weeping for Tammuz where we got the.
Yeah. And,
is that where we got the lint?
Yeah, the, when we get into the notes here, we realize that, that it's, certainly, for reasons, they were asking the priest and or the prophets, which were in the house of the Lord of hosts, or Jehovah Sabaoth. And that's the same as you see El up there in chapter 2. He says, and to the prophets, saying, should I weep in the fifth month? Should I bemoan with tears? And this word weep there is 1058 in the Strong's, and it is Balkal. And it means to bemoan with tears in the fifth month. And this fifth month is the word Ab, A-B. And it's from our July the 30th to August the 30th. So we can just say it's the month of August in that sense. And that, again, is the sacred calendar. So he says, should I weep in the fifth month? Should I bemoan myself with tears, separating myself? To separate oneself means to set apart and to abstain from food and drink, even down to devotions. They don't even stop for daily devotions. It's a situation that they've tied themselves into. And that separating there is 5144 in the Strong's, and the word is Mavzar. And that literally means to set apart or abstain from food and drink, to abstain from most things that they possibly can, even the devotions. And the question was, as I have done for so many years. So the asking to the prophets was, they were saying, should I weep in the fifth month, separating myself as I have done so many years, or these 70 years, basically, is what they're saying. And so when you ask the Lord of hosts a question, when you ask the one that's in charge of heaven and earth, as you know it, a question, they're generally going to come and answer. And verse 4 says, then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, so here comes the answer. The word of the Lord was the answer of Jehovah Sabaoth unto Zacharias, and it was a reply for me, Zechariah, as it says in verse 5, to speak unto all the people of the land, and to the priests saying, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and in the seventh month, even those 70 years. See, God is kind of referring to the fact that he didn't believe that. He said, did you at all fast unto me, even unto me? So he's asking them the question. He's answering the question with another question. And so we need to look at that again too. It says, speak or say to all the people of Israel in that land, that day, and to the priest or the other priest that are there, saying or speaking, when you fasted and mourned on the fifth month, Av, in the seventh month, Tishri, the fifth month, of course, we've already said it was our August, and Tishri is now October. And so we need to look at the note in the Companion Bible on verse 5, where it says, in the fifth month and in the seventh month. The month Ab, our August, appendage 51:5, it says the fast had already then been instituted to commemorate the destruction of Jerusalem on the 10th of Ab, Jeremiah 52, verses 12 and 13. We need to look at that. But let's go and, while we're here, let's go and look at the seventh month also, the month of Tishri. That would be our October. The fast had already then been instituted on the third of Tishri to commemorate the murder of Jedaliah by Ishmael, the son of Nethanah. And that is Jeremiah 40, verse 8. And it said, see further notes on 8:19. So you could turn over to 8:19. But let's go back for just a minute into Jeremiah and look at the first one. Let's look at Jeremiah 52, if I can find it right quick. I think I marked it out, but I... Well, at least I thought I did. Yeah, I got it. Jeremiah 52. And it was, what, 12 and 13. Okay, this was on page 1095 in the Companion Bible. And, well, let's just start at 12. It says, now in the fifth month and the 10th day of the month, which was the 19th year of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, which served the king of Babylon, into Jerusalem. And he burned the house of the Lord, and he burned the king's house, and the Lord said, and the king's house. And all the horses of Jerusalem and all the houses of the great men burned he with fire. And all the army of the Chaldeans that were with the captain of the guard break down all the walls of Jerusalem round about. And so we went through 14 there, and we see what had happened there, and this had been this had been instituted as a what they call it, a commemorate the destruction of Jerusalem on the 10th of Ab. And then again, the 7th month of October, it said the fast had already been instituted on the 3rd of Tishri to commemorate the murder of these folks. And let's go back, since we're in Jeremiah 52, let's go back to Jeremiah 40. And we can pick that up, I think, a little bit right there. And okay, I don't know what I did to my Bible, but I got it kind of sticky. Jeremiah 40,
might be cupcake eyes.
Verse 8. It said, then they came to Jedalal, to Mizpah, even Ishmael, the son of Nathaniel. And Johanna and Jonathan, the son of Kiria and Sierra, the son of Tanhumeth, and the sons of Ephi, the Nephthalite, and Jadana, the son of a Machelathite, they and their men, and Jedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphnam, swore unto them and to their men, saying, fear not to serve the Chaldeans. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you. So you see that the problems was that they made treaties and truces with the enemies that God didn't want them to make there. And the question was about them separating themselves and crying to themselves these 70 years. It was like, for sure he didn't believe that. And it says in 5, speak unto them. And then the question was, did you eat at all? Fast unto me, even to me. And so this was from 477 BC to 407 BC in Jeremiah 52 that we find these 70 years that we keep talking about. And it was as if God was really questioning them about their what they did, when they did it. And he says, and when you did eat, in verse 6, back to Zechariah chapter 7, and he says, and when you did eat and when you did drink, did you not eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? So he just comes straight out and asks them another question. When you did eat, when you did drink, did you eat and drink for me? Or really, did you do it for yourself? And because I think it was supposed to be done with bemoanings and prayers. He said, did you not eat for yourself and drink for yourself? No. It was not before the Lord, and it was not for His glory. It wasn't for the Lord's glory. So, that kind of got shot down. And he says, should you not hear the words which the Lord hath cried by the former prophets in verse 7, when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity, and the cities thereof round about her, when men inhabited the south and the plain. So there's a lot here in verse 7 that we need to talk about a little bit. It says, should you not hear the word which the Lord hath cried? Should you not have obeyed Him the way He was expecting to be obeyed? It says, they cried by the former prophets. Are not these the very words given by the former prophets? Here they were. And it says, when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity. So if you go back in the scripture and you read from Joshua, I'm sorry. If you read from Joshua to 2 Kings, you will see the evil and the wicked existed, and there, and no one cared or listened. It was as if it was falling on deaf ears. It was just that wicked and evil. And that was when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity. And they thought it was going to go on and on and on. It was just like they couldn't see any end to it. And they thought it was okay, I guess. And it said, and the cities thereof around about her. Now, when we look at the cities around about Jerusalem, we realize that Palestine is an ascent upward from anywhere, because Palestine was like built on a
plateau,
or a plain, if you will. And especially, it was built up, and if you were coming from Egypt, especially you had to ascend upward in a greater way than you would in other places that you were coming from.
So regardless of whether you were going at it from the north or the south, you were going up to the
right. So it says from Egypt southward, if you were coming from Egypt and you were going southward, that was where they built the Tower of Babel, if you remember. And it was called the Negrib, N-E-G-E-B, Negrib. And it talks about when men inhabited the south and the plain, or the lowlands. This is the hill country south of Judea where it's talking about here. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 1 and look at verses 7 and 8 and maybe another couple of verses of scriptures. Deuteronomy 1. Okay. We're going to look at 7 and 8, but we're going to go back and look at verse 5, starting verse 5. On this side of Jordan, in the land of Moab, began Moses to declare this law, saying, the Lord our God spoke unto us in Horeb, saying, ye have dwelt long enough in this mountain. Turn you and take your journey and go into the mount of the Amorites and unto all the places nigh unto in the plain and in the hills and in the vale and in the south and by the seaside to the land of the Canaanites and unto Lebanon, unto that great river, the river Euphrates. So he is telling you there where it is and where to go. And that was where they were going to get the promise of the land. He said, behold, I have set the land before you. So God is telling them, you know, this is where it's at, folks. I have set this land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed after them. And so this was what they were promised. And this was what they were going to get. And God says, you got to go in. You got to go into the land of the mount of the Amorites and also the land of the Canaanites and into Lebanon. They're up to as far as Lebanon, into the great river Euphrates, and you're supposed to take it. I'll help you take it. They didn't do it. So this is what we're talking about here in verse 7, where it says, in the hill and in the valley and in the south by the sea, all of that was somewhere where they had dwelt, and God was giving them another place to go to. And he said, where Jerusalem was inhabited, and the cities round about were inhabited in the south and in the plain. Then we get down to verse 8. It said, and the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, and that's pretty self-explanatory, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, and so the Lord of hosts is speaking to Zechariah there and telling him to execute true judgment and show mercy and compassion every man to his brother. So this was verse 8 and verse 9. And so the word of Jehovah, it came to Zechariah telling him this, thus speak, saith the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of heaven and earth, saying, execute true judgment. He is telling him to execute truth. 751 in the Strong's. And it means to prolong or to lengthen these sentences or the judgment and make them true, not wishy-washy, not one way and one another way, but these judgment are 49-41, and that's mishpat. And they are literally sentences that Zechariah is going to give forth. And he says, when you do this, you show mercy. And mercy there is 26-17 in the Strong's. And it's kesed. And that means kindness. That you execute these lengthy sentences with kindness and compassion. And compassion there is 73-56. And it means with tender love to do it. With tender love. Every man. Every ish. To his brother ish. From one ish to another. this is how God wanted it to go forth, to go forward. And it says in verse 10, and oppress not the widows, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of your imagined evil against, and let none of your imagined evil against his brother in your heart. So the main word here is the word oppress. And the word oppress is 6231. And in the English, it's Oshak. And it means to press upon or to demand deceitfully, to oppress not. You do not demand deceitfully the widow. You do not demand deceitfully the fatherless or the orphan. Okay? You do not press or demand deceitfully the stranger, the one that's passing through your land, that's not part of you. And it says, nor, and you can convert that to and the poor. And the poor is someone who is unable to help themselves in whatever the venture they're involved in. It's kind of like what we call 911. And it said, and let none of you, let no one imagine evil. And the imagined evil there is 2803, and it means to fabricate or to plot up something against someone. It's to plot evil against any of these. And it says against his brother or unto his brother. And he don't want you to imagine this evil or to fabricate or to plot it or try to make it work in your heart, because that is 3824, and the word is Tabob, Bob, B-A-U-B. And that is from within your innermost part of your being. Whenever you see the word your heart, it represents the inner man in that situation. Then we get to verse 11, and it says, but they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Wow. It said, but they refused to hearken. They just didn't want to listen. And pulled away the shoulder. What do you think the pulling away of the shoulder is?
Turn away.
You know, if somebody's trying to talk to you, and if they're doing it for your own good, and you turn away or you turn aside from the one who's speaking, you have done a great disservice to that individual. And so that's what God's saying here, that you've done a great disservice just by turning your shoulder. And they stopped their ears, or they covered their ears, that they should not hear. They did not want to listen to what the prophets were saying. They never did. For all those 70 years, they'd rather be in the world of idolatry. They'd rather be getting involved in all this stuff rather than listening to the words of God. Then we'll get down to verse 12. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Verse 12 is full of this indignation that God had with Israel and them doing all these things and trying to make it sound like they were really good, that they had taken care of a lot of these things, and he knows good and well they didn't do it. So it started out with a yea or yes. They made their hearts as an adamant stone, their most inner being part, the center of man's life, if you will, became as an adamant stone. An adamant stone is 8068. And as we have discussed this before, the further you get into the Hebrew numbers, and after you get up, seems like the 6,000 numbers, the 8,000 or 8,500 numbers, they get worse and worse. And so the word adamant there is a prick or something hard enough for marking out a gem. It's like you could take and scratch a beautiful gem and put some sort of a mark on it. It's hard and very, very easy to stick, you know. It's a prick. It says, lest they, and this prick here caused two different things. And one of the things is, it said, lest they should hear the law and the words. So this was what God was trying to get them through to their thick minds, that they should listen to what saith the law, and they should listen to the speech of the Holy Ones. Because this is the way that God works with his people. And of course, what God says is law. You know, when he speaks, it means something. It's not just so many words like mine and yours would be. When he uses that, it's just that way. Says, which the Lord of hosts has sent, the Lord of heaven and earth has sent by his spirit, by his ruach, to the former prophets from Joshua all the way through 2 Kings. Again, they did not listen. They did not hearken to what had been said. They did not hearken to what had been written down. They're put on parchment, put on scroll, or whatever. So it says, therefore, from that or those came a great wrath or the true judgment from the Lord of hosts. And when the Lord of hosts gives a judgment, you can better believe that it's a true judgment. Now, he can lengthen it out and prolong it as long as he wants to, and he can do with it what he wants to, because he's the Lord of heaven and earth. And certainly, he can do that. So when you get to verse 13, you got another one of these therefores. Let's read 13. We're about done. Therefore, it has come to pass that as he cried and they would not hear, so they cried and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, how much truer can a statement be made than that? He says, you didn't listen when I talked. Now you're calling out to me and crying out to me, and I'm not going to listen to you.
I can't hear you either.
He said, so they cried, they spoke and asked, and I would not hear. I turned a deaf ear, saith the Lord of heaven and earth. Well, man, if that ain't getting back in a true judgment, I don't know what it is. Because he said, okay, if it was good for you, it's going to be good for me. Well, let's do it that way. Got one more verse. But he said this. But I scattered them with a whirlwind. He said, I scattered them out with a tempest, to drive with a tempest. And it occurs only seven times. And it is called sore troubles every time that it's used. And then we'll read the rest of it. Among the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through or returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. God says, they turned their back on the pleasant land, and I left it desolate for 70 years. He told them in Deuteronomy where they were going to go, and he told them they were going to get the land, and he told them what they would have to do to get the land. They did not do any of that. They just, we don't want to listen to this. And so what did he do? He sent them out to nations that didn't know them. They didn't know them. And that was a hard time. But they brought it on theirself. They didn't listen to God, and so God wasn't going to listen to them for the 70 years. He was going to get his revenge back. And that is true judgment. And that's about all you can say about it. And these feast times that they had set before them, they were there for a reason. And it even told the year that when they started out and they didn't do what they were supposed to do, and it ran for 70 years. You can go back in the companion Bible and it'll tell you exactly the number of years.
Yeah. That's one of the beauties of Appendix 50 of the companion Bible.
Yes.
You can trace every one of them little details down.
You can't hardly find any other scripture works that will give you all this information just at your hand or just the way that you can find it. It's easy. It's very easy to find that way. It's not that hard. When I can find it, it surely ain't that hard. So, again, we've run about the right amount of time for the 14 verses. And so that's what we got with chapter 7. And I'll have to get with Ronnie. I can't remember where he started in Zechariah, but
I think I just did 13 and 14.
13 and 14.
The last two chapters.
Well, I got two or three more studies to do at least then. So thank you for...
you're welcome to do them again.
Thank you for your time and your patience. And I hope that this will give you a little better understanding of what's going on there in Zechariah, and he goes all the way back to Joshua to pick up and say, well, you know, they just didn't do what they were supposed to do. And he called them on it, and I think they thought they would could just kind of slough it over and get away with it. But God requires a true judgment.
Amen.
And so when he said, told Zechariah to execute a true judgment, then he turned around and did exactly the same thing. This true judgment. And he showed them that he did. And so, if you think you're going to get away with something, we've already found out that God knows.
Can't hide anything from the Creator.
You can't hide nothing from God. No use in even trying. So we'll pick up with 8 next time and go on. And thanks again for being with me on this day. It's been a good day, but it's been a kind of a sad day too. We, one of our other firemen, lost his wife day before yesterday, or maybe early yesterday morning. She had a heart attack and died. She had a renal failure, and she was in Oconee, but they moved her to Greenville Hospital and was going to do a
heart cath,
going to clean her blood.
Well,
and they, in the process of doing all this, she had a heart attack and passed away. And she used to work with my wife. And last month when we had the funeral, she was up there at the funeral home. And she was stating what a beautiful woman Ann was to work with and to be around. And all, and I would have never expected that she would have been the next one to go. And, but pray for, Freddie McAllister and his family, and, they're going to, bury his wife Friday morning. So I went down there and, took some stuff to help them out and, shared a word of, love with them, and they really appreciated that today. So if I didn't do anything else, that's something that really gave me a strong desire to do, because it just seemed like it was as much help as I got, that it was just the right thing to do. It was a true judgment, if you will, in that sense, because to give back some love, because I got so much love.
Amen.
A few days ago. That's true judgment. Continue to pray for us. Thank you a lot. God bless you.